Hey guys, I'm Brad Livingston, lead pastor here at Transformation Church. I want to thank you for tuning in to our sermon today. At TC, we exist to see people transform from who they are to who God wants them to be. So no matter where you are on your faith journey, I hope today's message inspires you to take one step closer to Christ.
So excited you guys are here. We're jumping into a little mini series, getting ready for Easter. And so, we are super pumped about that. And if I haven't got a chance to meet you yet, I'm Brad Livingston. I'm the lead pastor of this amazing church. And we're so glad that you are here today. And so I remember I got a job when I was in my late teens. I got out of high school. I'm a musician. And so I love music. And so I wanted to work at this music store. I begged them forever, give me a job. They kept saying no. And finally, I annoyed them enough to give me a job. And so they hired me and started working there. And my dad kept trying to tell me over and over. He's like, you need to get out of there. Like, you're not making enough money. And I'm like, who needs to make good money? I work at a music store, right? I get gear for like cost. So who cares what else happens? By the time I left there, I had 7 drum sets, 5 guitars, 2 basses, 4 keyboards, a whole PA system to my, like, I had every, like, it was unreal. So, but all that to say is while I was working there, it became very obvious, God put it on my heart, that I was actually there for this one person. I'm going to reach this guy for Jesus. And matter of fact, I was so committed to it that I started getting job offers, and God just put it on my heart, you need to stay there, and you're going to lead this guy to Jesus. And so I stayed, and my dad kept telling me, you need to get out of there. You're not making enough money. He was only thinking about his son making money. And I'm like, you of little faith, sir. Anyway, I ended up staying there. And long story short, over 5 years, I just kept talking to him about Jesus. I'm going to be honest with you, I wasn't even a perfect Christian to this guy. Like, I had a lot of flaws. But over time, and I'm here to tell you that before he left, God had a radical interaction with him, and he came to meet Jesus. Matter of fact, it was so ingrained in me that was the only reason I was there. The second this guy got a new job, God instantly dropped in my heart. It's like, okay, your time here is over with. And that was it. I was like, all right, I can go get a new job now. And so I quit. I walked out that day. That's a lie. I didn't. I actually stayed for a year because I didn't have another job. Young people, don't leave a job until you have a job, just so you know. And so I stayed, and I was faithful for another year. And then God opened the door for me to go take another job. But I was so, it became so deep in my heart and in my passion that this dude's going to know Jesus before I leave here, you know. And it really got me thinking about this message that I want to bring to you guys today. And here's a question that I have I want you to think about. Do you consider eternity when you live your life with people? Do you consider eternity? Do you consider the fact that everyone you know is going to go to heaven or hell when they die? Every coworker you have, every family member you have, every person you know, every person we know is going to go to one of two places when they die. And is it enough of our thought process to consider that it's either going to be heaven where we rejoice with King Jesus forever, or it's going to be hell with eternal torment? There is no in between. Every person we know is going to spend their eternity in one of those two destinations. And hear me, does it drive us to live our life differently when we're with them? And that's the question I want us to think about for a second. Now, I know some of you are like, that's really deep for the first 5 minutes, Brad. You need to calm down, all right? So we came to laugh. No, yeah, we will. But all that to say is, I really want you to think about that. And I want to take you to Mark chapter 2 in this story where Jesus is there. And as he's there, he's in this home and this crowd is around him. Matter of fact, let's just go there. Mark 2, 1 through 3. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by 4 of them. Now, what I think is so interesting here is that the guys didn't look at the crowded house and be like, you know what, there's enough people there. We don't need to bring our buddy, right? They looked at our friend and was like, I don't care how many people are there. I know one more that needs to get to him. You know what I'm talking about? Which brings me to this, because I love the fact that our church keeps getting more and more people. We'll have 1,200 people walk through our doors today. Like, it's amazing what's happening in 3 services, but listen to me. A crowded room is not a good enough reason not to bring people to Jesus. Our church is never so big that we can't bring more people to Jesus. I remember when I took over as lead pastor, a guy came in and he loved Pastor Dan. He didn't know how he felt about me, all right? And my dad, Pastor Dan, started the church, for those of you that are new. And so I took over in 2018. When I took over, he came in, he met with me and Pastor Dan. Pastor Dan is a heartfelt guy. He loves people. He's he just oozes compassion. You know, like he's that kind of guy. And the guy sat down with us and he said, I'm leaving the church. And I said, okay. And Pastor Dan said, why? What's going on? He said, well, he said, you guys are so concerned about growing and reaching new people. He said, and I really just like my small church. And so I found the church. They're not concerned about growing. They're not concerned about reaching new people. You know, they just want to have a great little community. And I think I'm going to go there. I said, cool. So you found a church that doesn't believe in Jesus, doesn't love the gospel, and doesn't want to see lost people saved. I said, if that's what you're looking for, don't come back here. Because that's what we do. Right? And he said, well, no, that's not really. I said, oh, no, that's it. I said, what you just said is you don't want the church to grow. But listen, as long as heaven and hell are realities, our church is going to grow. Because lost people got to meet Jesus. And we got to plunder hell and fill heaven. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And so I said, so no, if that's what you're looking for in a church, definitely go somewhere else because we're not the church for you. And I saw my dad like so uncomfortable with this conversation. And the guy left. You know, we didn't really have a resolve. He just kind of was like, well, okay. And so my dad, after he left, he said, you can't say that to him. I said, what's he going to do, leave? He already left. So here, let me just give you something on the way out. Anyway, so all that to say is, listen, I'm here to tell you today, I don't care how crowded the room gets. Listen, we do have a focus that is more important than a crowded room here. And listen to me, it's making room in the crowd. Like we're more than like we celebrate the fact that Jesus is going to fill this room three times, but I'm here to tell you we'll always find more room in the crowd. I talked to Nate recently. I said, listen, if the services get so full, if they get too full, we'll literally go buy cushions from the store and all the teenagers can sit on the floor and we'll make more room for adults in the seat. Like whatever it takes, that's what we're going to do. So teenagers, if y'all have a little mosh pit down there, I'm coming to join y'all. I'm coming with y'all. I'm going to be over there. But we want to make room for more people, right? And that's what's so important. And when we go back to Mark chapter 2, verse 4 through 5, these guys see the crowd. They say, we don't care. We've got a friend that needs to meet Jesus. Since they could not, verse 4, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat that the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. I want you to think about this for a second. Four guys carrying a paralyzed man. They get to the house, can't get to Jesus. And at least one of them is like, fellas, I've got an idea. And they're like, guys, we can't get in. He's like, oh, we can get in. Come on, just give me a little head nod if you got at least one friend in your life. It's like, oh, they said we can't. Well, we gonna get in, right? Some of you, it's you. You know what I mean? And that's why you're my people. I love y'all. So, oh, you said we can't? Oh, watch this, right? Like, and so y'all used to sneak into clubs. Now you sneaking in the church. But good for you. Anyway, so I know where the back door is. And so they literally, they come. And the guy's like, let's tear a hole in the roof. And surely at least one of the other three were like, brother. And he's like, we're going to get him there. And so they literally go up, tear a hole in the roof. They lower the man down to Jesus, right? And like they're so passionate about getting him there that they lower him down to Jesus. Jesus looks at the man, sees their faith, looks at him and says, your sins are forgiven. Listen, I want you to understand something. God wants to use you to bring others to himself. He wants to use you to bring people to himself. He wants your life to be part of the mission to bring people to himself. And I used to go, me and my wife, Ashley, we go on date night. We have a date night every week. And if you try to get on my calendar during date night, the answer is no automatically. They don't even give you an option. All right. So my wife is a priority for me. We used to go on date nights. And listen, when the church was running a couple hundred people, I never ran into people I knew. So date nights for me was a hoodie, basketball shorts, and flip-flops. All right, like I'm growing as comfortable as I can. We're both comfortable people. We don't have to get all dressed up. We don't care about all that, all right? And so we would go out, and finally, as the church started growing, every date night, I run into at least three people I know. And they're like, Pastor Brad! And I was like, I'm there, jacked up hair, hoodie, but I'm like, you know? And I ran into this one guy in particular, and this is what kind of switched. I told my wife after this, I said, I don't think I can go out in basketball shorts anymore. I need to start dressing more professional. And a guy saw me, and he said, Pastor Brad, what's going on? And I went up, shook his hand. He was with a buddy that he worked with, and he told his friend, he said, this is my pastor. And the guy looked at him and said this, you go to church? I'm serious. He said, you go to church? And I'm looking at him like, oh, we're going to talk about this. You know, like, And this is what he said. This is what he said. He said, how come you've never invited me to your church? And he said, you know what I've been going through the last year, and you didn't think that what was good enough for you would be good enough for me? That's what he said. And I just took a step back, like, go on and get them, dog. Go on and get them. But I'm sick. Listen, the people around you need hope. You have it. We're the ones that are going to bring people to Jesus. You with me today? Like, we really got to recognize God wants this for us. And in Luke chapter 14, there's the story that Jesus tells about a man who's setting up a banquet, and he wants people to come to it. And in verses 16 through 17, he says, Jesus replied, a man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests at the time of the banquet. He sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. And what happened is all the people that were invited started making excuses. Oh, man, I'm too busy. Oh, I got something going on. And so the master goes, you know what? Fine then. He said, go find the lame, the cripple. Go find the unlikely people to show up to a banquet and bring them in. And so he goes out. He says, we've actually done that, and there's still more room. And so Jesus says, the master looked at him and said, then I want you to go find all the people you would never invite to this. I want you to invite them. Which made me think, you know, there's three categories we put people in when we want to bring them to Jesus, or when we think about their need for Jesus. And I just want to give them to you real quick, because first of all, there's the obvious. The obvious people that need to come to Jesus are the ones that you talk to about faith already. They're kind of like almost saved or kind of churchy. And those are the obvious ones where it's like, well, hey, go invite your friend to church. You're like, oh yeah, I'm going to invite the dude that already talks about church. But then there's two other groups of people. There's the unlikely. I call them the unlikely, which is like you look at them and you're like, could Jesus save them? And you're like, that's unlikely. Come on, help me out. Y'all know at least one. Don't raise your hand, but you can nod your head. You got at least one. You're like, if Jesus saved them, that would be wild. You know, right? Now here's the reason why I think it's interesting, because most of us were the unlikely, not the obvious. And if Jesus did it for us, can he do it for someone else too? So there's the unlikely, and then hear me, the third category is the impossible. You look at them and go, there's no way Jesus would save them, right? They're too far gone. They've done too much. They hate God, whatever. But can I tell you something? Paul, who was named Saul, persecuted and killed Christians. Jesus knocked him off a horse, blinded him for 3 days, and rescued him from his sin. If Jesus can do it to him, listen, there's not a person in your life he can't save. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And there's a story about this man named Manny. So Pastor Dan and my mom, they moved to the South Bronx to start ministry in the early 80s. And so one of my dad's jobs was to go in the early morning before the sunrise and pick up all the drug needles out of the parking lot so the staff could pull in. Yay, ministry. All right, so he turns around, he gets ready to walk through this dark alley, and he gets ready to walk through this dark alley, and he looks up, and there's this giant man, 6'5", 6'6", 350 pounds, tatted up biker vest. His name was Manny, and he was part of the rough Puerto Rican drug dealer crew in the Bronx. And he looked at him, and my dad was like, "This is the end. All right, I'm going to meet Jesus." and Manny looks at him and he says, he actually asked for food and water. He said, "I'm broke. Can I get something?" And ultimately, my dad led him to meet Jesus. And what's interesting is my mom, who is like 5'3", blonde hair, blue eyed, stuck out like a sore thumb in the Bronx in the 80s that was all black and Puerto Rican. And so she would literally get catcalled walking down the street. She would get propositioned walking down the street and all that stuff. And so Manny became my mom's personal bodyguard in the Bronx for a while. And so people would start to proposition her, and Manny would step out, you know what I'm saying, 6'6", 350, and be like, "I'm sorry, what?" And they were like, "Nothing, don't worry about it," right? But listen to me, Manny seemed to be impossible, but God turned him into the obvious. Y'all know what I'm talking about? No one's too far gone for this. And you look at Luke 14, 23 through 24, he literally says, then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them. Don't just invite them, compel them. Remind them of what they are missing out. Compel them to come in so that my house will be full. And listen to me, that's exactly what Jesus is asking of us. You got someone you work with, you got a family member, tell them about me and bring them to the banquet table so they can eat at the place that you eat. That's what he's talking about. And I think it's so interesting because Tom Rainer, who does a lot of church statistics, he says this, he says that 82% of people said they would go to church with a friend if they were invited, but only 2% bother. So 2% of people actually talk to others and invite them to church, but 82% of your friends and family would come to church if they just got an invite. So hear me, let's use the invite, right? And so let's go out there. But here's the reality. is I think there's reasons that we don't bring people to church. Right? There's reasons that we kind of miss out on the opportunity. The first one we already talked about, but it's a crowded room. Right? We come to church, we look around, this place is packed. Come on, Jesus, you know? Do we really need to invite more people? Because there's already a bunch of people here. But can I tell you something? We'll always make room in the crowd. I don't care how much it's a crowded room. You know what I'm talking about? And so there's always room for your family member. There's always room for your brother, for your sister, for your mom, for your dad, for your cousin, for your coworker, for your best friend. There's always room. We'll make room if we have to, but listen to me, they need to meet Jesus. So a crowded room is not a good reason not to bring someone to Jesus. But I think the second reason, and probably the third, is more along the lines of where we fall. And the second reason isn't a crowded room, it's a crowded heart. That we're so consumed with the things of this world that we kind of forget that every person we know is either going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell. And listen, if they spend it in heaven, it's not going to be because they were good enough or they did enough good things. It's going to be because Jesus rescued them from their sin, just like he did us. And so a lot of us have a crowded heart. We're so consumed by the things we're trying to obtain in this world, we've forgotten that obtaining people for Jesus is our number one priority. And how many of you guys know we can all be guilty of that? So there's a full heart, a crowded heart. And then lastly, I think a lot of us fall in this category, is a crowded mind. How many of you have ever lived in some tunnel vision before? Right? Where this has probably happened to you. Matter of fact, I'll tell the story. You've all experienced a moment where you were at work and you were busy working on spreadsheets or reports or whatever, right? Or maybe you were at school and you were trying to get your homework done before class started because you didn't do it the night before. All right, so whatever the case may be, but you kind of were trying to hurry, and your mind was so crowded. You heard someone talking about that they were desperate, hurting, broken, needed to find a solution, they needed to find hope, but you were so busy on this thing you didn't see the opportunity to bring Jesus to them. Because how many of you guys know our mind can get crowded? And here, we got to make room to unlock the crowded mind and see what God has for us, right? Because the reality is, we all know the guilt that sets into our heart when we miss the opportunity to meet somebody. I recently was at a restaurant, and the waitress was there, and I could tell she was having a rough day. And so I just talked to her. I'll be honest with you. I was busy, had a meeting coming up. I was like, man, I don't really have time to get into all this. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Come on, anybody ever? I don't really got time to get into all. So I was just like, hey, you know, like I know you're gonna have a better day. I tipped her extra, you know, because Christians should. Don't talk to a waitress about Jesus and leave him 2% tip. All right, don't do it. I will find you and I'll fight you. All right, so. So I tipped her extra, and I was walking out of the car, and I could feel God, like, speaking to my heart internally that, like, you need to go talk to her about Jesus, but I'm running late, right? And so I'm like, I ain't got time for that. I get in my car. I'm driving. And it was literally, like, almost like Jesus took the steering wheel. It was like, nah, brother, we're going back. And so I was like, ugh. So I turn around. I go back. I walk in the restaurant. I'm trying to find her. I'm like, where is she? I'm on a mission at this point, you know? And I'm like, there she is. And so I go over there, and I'm like, I need to talk to you for 2 minutes. And I literally talked to her about Jesus, and I spoke hope into her life. I don't know what you're looking for, and I don't know all the areas you've tried to solve this problem you're having right now, but I'm here to tell you there is someone that will fill that hole in your heart, and his name is Jesus. And maybe you've tried church, but you hadn't tried him, and I want to introduce you to him. And she's coming to Easter Sunday as one of my guests. So, but the reason I tell you that story is like that guilt set in. Y'all know what I'm talking. You felt it before where you're like, all right, God, leave me alone for 5 minutes. I would not have slept that night. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'd have went back the next day for lunch just to eat there. I'd be like, there you are. Come here, Trisha. No, I'm just kidding. Her name wasn't Trisha for the record. But the reality is like, man, we have to see that. We go to Mark 2. Let's pick up in this story. Now, some of the teachers, so again, we're going back to the story where the man was lowered to the roof. Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Remember, Jesus looked at him and said, your sins are forgiven. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk. So Jesus is posing the question, would it be easier for me to say your sins are forgiven, but we can't really see with our eyes that I actually did forgive his sins? Or would it be easier for me to say, pick up your mat and watch this guy that's never walked a day in his life walk out of here? Which one would be easier? What would be easier for you to say that his sins are forgiven? Jesus is like, bet. That's my translation. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Because listen to me, Jesus will always prove who he is to people who doubt him. Jesus will always prove who he is to people who doubt him. He's on a mission. And I know, man, one of the biggest reasons why we don't bring Jesus to people is because, let's be real, we're worried what they're going to say. We're worried we're going to look stupid. We're worried they're going to say no, which if they say no, for the record, you're right back where you were before they didn't say yes, right? So, but like, that's our anxiousness. I don't know what they're going to say. What if they ask me a question? I don't know. What if they ask about the flood and the animals? And I'm like, oh, I don't know about the flood. You know, like, what about dinosaurs? Like, that's a great question, dog. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, T-Rex. You know, so that's our anxiety kicks in. And the reality is that it's up to God to reveal himself to people. And I want to take you to 2 Corinthians because I want to ease the burden of your heart for evangelism for just a moment. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 3, 16 through 18. I want to show you what Paul says about why people don't believe in God and do believe in God. He says, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil, say veil, is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled, say unveiled, unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So I want to make sense of this verse for you. What he's saying is everyone has veils over their eyes. They can't see Jesus for who he is. But all of us who have met Jesus, the veil was removed so we can meet him, and now we're contemplating how good God is. That's what the verse is saying, right? So let's keep on going. Therefore, chapter 4, verse 1, it keeps on going. Therefore, since through God's mercy, we have this ministry. Say ministry. What is the ministry? To take the gospel to people so Jesus can remove the veil from their eyes too. We have this ministry. We don't lose heart. So turn to your neighbor and say, don't lose heart. Gonna turn the person you just neglected on the other side of you, right? Don't lose heart. All right, so we don't lose heart, and this is what he says. Grab a hold of this, because I hope this will help you. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, what is the truth? That Jesus died for our sins and saved us. We commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. In other words, it's veiled to those that God is currently letting them go to hell right now. The God of this age, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has made light shine in our hearts. How many of you guys know when you met Jesus, a light started shining in your heart, right? It made the light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. So what this passage is saying is, listen, every person in their sin, their eyes have been veiled to who Jesus is. They can't see him. They can hear about him, but they can't know him. And until the veil gets lifted, they'll never see him. But whose responsibility is it to lift the veil? Jesus. It's his job to let them see. It's our job to take the ministry of giving them the good news. So it's up to us to give the good news. It's up to God to handle the rest. So listen to me. Stop being concerned if they're going to say yes or no. That's not your job. You go, what if I mess up the presentation? They don't know Jesus. They don't know the right version of the presentation. All the version they know is yours. So if you mess it up a little bit, nobody knows. You're like, yeah, Jesus died on three crosses and stuff. And the person listens like, I don't know if that's right. And you're like, it's right. It's right. They don't know. They're like, I thought it was one cross. Like, hey, don't question the man of God. I'm bringing to you Jesus lift the veil. You know what I mean? That's our job is to go. But you understand what I'm saying? Our job is not to have all the answers. It's not to get it exactly right. Our job is to take this ministry that's been given. What's our ministry? Listen, ministry is not reserved for pastors. Ministry is for every Christian. And our ministry is to go to the highways and the byways, to go to the impossible, to the unlikely and the obvious, and help them understand Jesus loves you and wants to save you from an eternity without him, the same way he did for me. I recently went to Tacos El Fluffy. Amazing tacos. Met this young man, Gio, who owns it. Amazing Christian guy. Loves the Lord. Loves tacos. So he's like my best friend. And so we go there. We were recording a podcast there this past week. And so we go in. We record the podcast. And we said, you know, we want some tacos to eat on the podcast. He said, oh, I got you. And so I pulled him aside. And I saw on the menu they had jalapeno and cheese tamales. And I was like, hey, brother. Let me get some of them tamales. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know why I said it like a drug addict. You know what I'm saying? I was like, hey, brother. Y'all seen that Dave Chappelle meme? Let me get some of them tamales. Anyway, so, I need some of those tamales. And so he brought out chicken, pork, jalapeno cheese. Like, I was like, brother, come on. He had two plates. It was amazing. Anyways, and so we're there eating, and he brings out these tacos. And so he said, what kind of tacos do you want? And I said, yes. So he brings out these El Pastor tacos, and it's pork with chunks of pineapple and a marinated sauce on a homemade hand-pressed tortilla. Sorry. If you come from the Pentecostal church, you know what that was. You know what that was. So and then had little diced onions, some cilantro, and so I was getting ready to eat it. He said, hey, brother, hit it with a little lime juice. And I said, yes, sir, because this is real Mexican food, y'all. Not El Paso. Okay. They are open on Sundays, by the way. Gio, I got you. All right, so I hit it with the lime juice. He said, all right, now take a bite. I took a bite. I said, oh, my God. It's sweet, and it's salty, and it's citrusy. All right. And so he was like, all right, now take this. He said, take this hot sauce. And it's a cilantro-based hot sauce, and pour it on there. And so I did. He said, not too heavy. I said, okay, not too heavy. So I'm putting it on taco. He said, now try that. I've been into it. And I was like, my God. I said, Holy Spirit, are you in this taco? Because I think I felt God just now. And so I ate it, and I was like, man, it's amazing. And I tried the chicken ones too and all that stuff, but that El Pastor, it had my heart, man. I ain't gonna lie to you. I love my wife, but second to my wife was these tacos in that moment. And now here's a question I have for you. How many of you are thinking about changing your lunch plans right now? Come on, just be honest for a second. But, all right, yep, see, the Spirit of God's moving in this place right there. Right? Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you did I make you feel guilty about not having my taco experience? I didn't make you feel guilty. Did I make you feel bad about it? Can't believe you had tried Tacos El Fluffy. Bunch of losers. Did I didn't do that, right? Did I beat you up about it? No. Did I even try to convince you to want it? Or did I just tell you about this experience I had? And now all of you are reconsidering what you're eating for lunch, right? What if our job is not to convince people that they need Jesus, but it's just to tell them how good he's been to us? And maybe they'll reconsider their plans for Easter. Because we call that heralding the gospel, by the way. I'm not trying to convince them. I'm not demeaning them. I'm not telling them how bad they are. I'm just saying, man, let me tell you about this amazing thing I had. Listen, our job is to herald the good news. God's job is to remove the veil. Our job is to herald the good news. God's job is to remove the veil. We go to Mark 2:12, talking about the man that got lowered in. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees challenge Jesus. Jesus looks at him and says, what's easier, to tell this guy to walk or tell him sins are forgiven? So he says, I'll tell you what, get up and walk. In Mark 2:12, he got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. And this amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. And my question to you is this, why would Jesus tell this guy to pick up his mat? I don't know about you, but if I had been lame and crippled my whole life sitting on the same mat, the last thing I want to do is self-clean up. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Jesus is like, hey, don't forget your mat, brother. I'd been like, I ain't touching that thing ever again in my life. You know what I'm saying? But Jesus wasn't asking him to make sure he recycled. What Jesus was saying is, hey, grab the thing that everybody knows you for and carry it back into the places that you used to dwell so that they'll remember who you used to be and now see who you are after you've met me. And so many of us, yeah, come on. So many of us have, we see the map that we used to live on. We see the place we used to dwell and we hate it. We despise it. And Jesus says, hey, I don't want you to forget it. I want you to pick it up and carry it with you. I know you used to have that addiction problem. I know you used to be addicted to pornography or drugs. You used to have alcoholism. You used to be full of bitterness and unforgiveness. I know you used to have this anger problem. I know you used to have all these issues, but listen to me. I don't want you to forget them. I want you to carry them because I want you to carry them to show the world that only knows you as the alcoholic, only knows you as the drug addict, only knows you as the unforgiving person, only knows you as the bitter, angry person. I want you to carry it back where you used to dwell, and I want you to remind everybody in the city where I brought you from. Yeah, this is what I carry now. It's not what I dwell on. And since I can carry it, I can tell you, listen, God can help you carry yours too. But that just means some people got to be willing to take your mat and walk it out. Take your mat and walk it out, man. Take where you've come from and take it to the world and say, listen, I wasn't perfect. Jesus rescued me. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to champion this voice of Jesus so that we can take what we've gone through into the world and say, listen, I wasn't perfect. Jesus isn't looking for perfect people. He's looking to make broken people perfect. And here's the question I have for you. Out of all the people you can invite to church on Easter Sunday, because that's what we're leading up to, bringing someone with you on Easter Sunday. Out of all the people you can invite on Easter Sunday, whose story will impact the most people when they get saved? You look at someone and be like, bro, if they got saved, that would change the world. Invite that person. Invite them. Get them here. This young man came to my student ministry when I was a youth pastor. His name's Anthony Brown. He came to our student ministry, rough shape. Mom lived in New York. And just, he didn't even know his dad, living with his brother, a whole mess. It was just a mess, man. And you look at him, and you're like, man, that, I don't know if this dude could ever be saved. And he met Jesus in our youth group. And now, fast forward about 15 years, he's the campus pastor at Bethany Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, in the North Campus, preaching every Sunday, listen to me, in an auditorium that holds 3,600 people. 3,600 people. For the record, I don't know if you looked around here, we ain't holding 3,600 people. Because God has taken him, and now he's using his voice in bigger ways than he's even using the voice of the person that brought him to Jesus. You hear me today? God can do something great in people's lives, but I had to be willing to carry my mat with Anthony and say, God can do it for you. Don't worry about where you've come from. God can do it for you. And walk it out with Anthony, and now he's ministering to thousands of people every week. So listen to me, because some of you think you're disqualified. Listen, your past doesn't make your faith artificial. It makes it accessible. So carry it. How do you do this today, tomorrow, with the waitress today? Don't worry, Gio's taken care of. All right, so if y'all go over there, don't try to... He's mine. Y'all can't have him. Listen, how do you do this starting today? Carry your testimony to anyone who will listen to bring them to Jesus. At your job, your family member, do whatever you got to do to bring them to Jesus. And here's a question I have for you. I really want you to think about this. What would Baptism Sunday look like? April 7th, Baptism Sunday, the Sunday after Easter. What would Baptism Sunday look like if each one of us brought just one person to meet Jesus at Easter? 1,200 people are going to walk through these doors today. Imagine if all of us brought one person to meet Jesus on Easter Sunday and half of them got saved and got baptized. We'd be baptizing 600 people on April 7th. The party, I'm telling y'all right now, we're going to throw a party. Y'all ain't never even seen it. I'm telling you right now, we might get Coldplay to play outside. I don't even know. We're going to do something crazy. We're going to do something crazy, all right? Because listen, God's doing some stuff and people need to be a part of it. We got to tear off a roof. Let's tear off a roof. Let's get people to Jesus. And there's a story of a lady as we're close. There's a story of this lady, and she had moved into this new neighborhood. And when she moved into this neighborhood, she saw these two little boys. It was a baby and a toddler playing outside, just going in and out with their parents. And the next Sunday, she went and knocked on the door of this house, and she looked at him. She asked the mother of the two children, she said, "Can I take those little boys to church with me this morning?" And the mom said, "Yes, let her take those two boys to church." And the father of the boys was looking out the window that day, and he looked at his wife and said, "Nobody will ever take my kids to church again but me." And the next Sunday, the whole family went to church, got saved, met Jesus, and transformed their whole family. The baby of those two little boys, his name is Dan Livingston. He's the founder of this church. And if that woman, listen to me, I don't even know her name, but if she hadn't said yes, Dan Livingston wouldn't have said yes. And if he wouldn't have said yes, Brad Livingston wouldn't have said yes. And we wouldn't be preaching to you today in a church full of people that are pursuing God. You with me today? One woman, I don't even know her name, changed the world just because she was willing to knock on a door, risk hearing no, but do it anyways, and it transformed everything. Listen, think of how the world could change if you said yes to bringing two people with you. You never know, the next Brad Livingston might be the person you're bringing. But you know what? Your story is just as important. You never know who the next you might be that could transform the world. Let's do it together. Let's bring some people with us. There's invite cards just outside the doors. I want you to grab some. Let's get some people here on Easter Sunday, and let's change the world together. You guys with me today? Let's do it in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, and we love you. We are so grateful that you've given us grace and mercy. So I pray today, God, that you would prompt our hearts. Give us courage to declare who you are to people who are lost. We need you. But more importantly, God, we're grateful that you want to use us. So help us say yes, even when we're scared or worried or concerned. God, give us the courage and the boldness to make a declaration that our life belongs to Jesus and that other people can meet you as well. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. If you're here today, church, you're watching online, you say, "Brad, I don't want to wait for Easter. I'm here today, and Jesus isn't the Lord of my life, but he needs to be. And I'm ready to say yes right now." The beauty of the gospel, my friends, is that even though sin separated us from God, when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for our sins. And today, to be forgiven, all you have to do is believe. Put your faith in Jesus, that he paid for your sins on the cross. And today, if you're ready to do that, I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. And this prayer just puts words to that belief. And the whole church will pray with you, so you're not praying by yourself. Say, "Dear Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my wrongs. I believe in you. I believe you died for me, so I give you my life. Make me brand new. Give me a fresh start, and I'll worship you forever." In Jesus' name, amen and amen. TC, let's get it for all those that prayed that today. We celebrate with you. Awesome.